In what follows, I tell you that Temple of the Frog is the first published setting for D&D. It's clearly not. It's the first published module, but I can't be bothered to edit it.
Come in, my child, out of the cold, and listen how the story's told. From fairy tales to happenstance, the dice rule every random chance. Take off your coat and stay a while, we're rolling that deep percentile.
And I'm going to start today with a call-in from Spencer, or free thrall of Keep Off the Borderlands.
Hi Dave, I for one am certainly up for a bit of Blackmoor. It's got a little bit of gonzo in it, which I think appeals to you. And, well, I say that as if I know anything about it. This is all conjecture. But it's certainly, I find it more interesting than, say, Greyhawk, which I assume is kind of pretty much straight up medieval fantasy. Yeah, and I think the Arneson connection appeals to me. I don't know. I suddenly realised that I've got no idea what I'm talking about, just that I like the idea of you running Blackmoor. Bye.
Yeah, cheers for this, Spence. I don't know how into Blackmoor I was when I made the decision to run it in Blackmoor, but you know, these things take on a life of their own. I'm certainly in it now. You will be amused from playing in pretty much all of my other games, just how close my sensitivities seem to be to Arneson's. There's one very well-known, well, I understand it's well-known, wasn't too well-known to me, the Inn, the Comeback Inn, which features quite prominently in the module I'm reading at the moment. We've done some very similar things in my sessions, travelling to other dimensions via the tavern outhouse. Some of this, if I use it, is going to seem bizarrely familiar. Hi everyone. Right, Blackmoor then. What I've assembled. There is obviously Supplement 2 for original D&D, Blackmoor. It doesn't give you very much setting info, but it does have Temple of the Frog, apparently the first published setting for D&D. Yeah, I flicked through that some time ago. Going to pore over that in detail. It's got lots of rules variants. New classes, introduce the monk and the assassin. Not sure what I'm going to do with that. I think I'll just ignore that because I want to play old school essentials out of the box, but it is interesting. Yeah, almost only sort of contingently called Blackmoor because it emerges, I think, from Arneson's campaign, but it doesn't tell you much about Blackmoor. Then you've got the DA modules, the Dave Arneson modules, DA 1, 2, 3, and 4. Take you through the Blackmoor setting. There's a version of Temple of the Frog there. Another one where they take you off into the starship, the crashed spaceship, and then there's the Duchy of Ten there as well. So I think they might be the sort of central focus for if I am going to do a Blackmoor-based campaign, even though really they're a little bit later. They're really Beckme modules rather than BX modules. I know it was all a sort of blur in the early mid 80s, exactly what edition you were playing, but really they feel a bit more Beckme than BX, but they're quite useful. I haven't looked at them at all yet. In between times, Shandy Andy put me on to the Judges Guild publication. The first fantasy campaign comes out in about 1977. Incidentally, Shandy Andy does a real deep dive into that. There's an hour long episode on Unguarded Treasure B-52 where Shandy Andy takes you through that document. He reads out the intro. It has got a really really interesting intro where Bob Bledsoe says, this is a bit of a bit of an unpolished gem. I don't know what to say about this document. It's a bit of a mess. Obviously, for whatever reason, Judges Guild just didn't edit what they got from Dave Arneson. So it's not really a gazetteer. It's kind of got write-ups of some of his favourite player characters. It's got little explanations of how he ran the game. It's a sort of mishmash journal thing, pretty loosely, poorly edited. I'm not sure that'll be... It is a fascinating historical document of gaming, but I'm not sure it will be much of a reference point. I come across strange concepts. I'm not sure I know what to make of the egg of Coot yet. One thing I noticed looking at all of this material is that there's a heavy humour streak to Dave's stuff. There's a lot of puns. He likes an unofficial part of his appendix N seems to me to be, although nobody ever referenced it. Oh, I haven't checked the dates yet. I was going to do that. I was going to go and look in my Piers Anthony books and see whether I was talking complete nonsense. But there seems to be a heavy sort of Xanth element going on. Lots of bizarre names, lots of comedy puns going on in there. I'm going to check that out. Maybe say more about that later. So you've got those three sources. Don't really know what to make of the first fantasy campaign. Then you've got So then you've got, I think it's Zeitgeist Games, somehow in conjunction with Goodman Games in the early 2000s, produced a Dave Arneson's Blackmoor campaign guide, which had a few other sort of gazetteer follow-ups that followed it, and that's for third edition, obviously, and that's quite an interesting set of documents. So I'm going to have a look at those, obviously under the, you know, in conjunction with or under the auspices of Dave Arneson, who's written an intro to that. His intro to that is really interesting. I may get round to reading that out, because he just in a couple of paragraphs he describes, and I'm sure you can find it in lots of other documents, but he describes how he recollects the origins of dungeon gaming, and that's really interesting. So that's my canon of sources, if you like. As I say, it's got the intro by Dave Arneson, so it seems to be an official addition to it. Lots there I won't use. There's lots and lots of races, lots and lots of things, prestige classes that are all tie-ins with third edition. But nevertheless, to get a sense of the setting. And even then, it's that strong humour that I notice particularly. I'm not sure I'm entirely... I don't know. My sessions, I've talked about this before, my sessions often not degenerate, but there's a lot of laughter and silliness in my sessions, but never really, I don't think, sort of built into the world. I don't really want whole places or characters to be kind of pun jokes. I just find they wear thin after a while. So that's something I'm realizing from my initial forays. More on that. I just wanted to describe the sort of canon of material that I'm looking at. And if anybody thinks I should be going anywhere else, let me know, please. Yeah, so I half suspected it as I said it, but Xanth doesn't work. Spell for Chameleon. I've got loads of those on my shelf. I liked them when I was a kid. I'm not sure I'd go back to them now, but that was 1977. So Blackmoor was well underway by then. Maybe drawing from a similar wellspring, perhaps. But what is going on with the egg of Coot? It's quite interesting. He mentions the players, they used to get really annoyed by the egg of Coot. They didn't like going anywhere near that location. I have got no idea what this entity is meant to be. If anybody wants to explain the egg of Coot to me, I'd be very appreciative. So I think I'll understand more about the egg of Coot, I think, if I read the DA modules. I think a bit more information is given there. Well, I'm hoping anyway. Other things. So yeah, just looking over that supplement too. I was a bit worried because I thought, well, did all the sci-fi spaceship stuff? Did I just misremember that? But no, it's all there. You know, heavy sci-fi elements. I really enjoy that. That's sort of straight out of Fritz Lieber. I remember reading Fritz Lieber, whichever one it is. But they're traveling along, and suddenly just. a spaceman turns up or a time traveler. They have a quick chat with him. He goes away. I love that kind of stuff. This is from, you know, I really love that. The Dungeon Crawl classics do it well. You know, the don't forget with Appendix N, the genre isn't really set yet. And so you've got all of this speculative fiction, as we used to call it, being drawn on to create this world. And it hasn't yet settled into the familiar tropes of later editions of D&D, and I really like that. So that's definitely, I'll be playing around with that. Lots of strange time travel, sci-fi tech going on. The other thing, just looking at that supplement, yeah, it's very much in tune with my sensibilities. You've got frogmen in Temple of the Frog, and the Sawagin are introduced in that supplement. I love me fishmen. Actually, that's something I'm a bit worried about. It's so in tune with my sensibilities that I think my players might have had enough of that. If I've got the same players playing as have played in the Black Hack game, you know, I do like me fishmen, me frogmen, me swampy dungeons. They've had quite a lot of that. I don't know if they'll be like, oh no, not another fishman, not another swampy frog-infested dungeon. I'll have to take some care with that. All right, so as promised, this is from the introduction to Dave Arneson's Blackmoor, which is a 242-page third edition supplement by Zeitgeist Games from 2005. Yeah, it's got a Goodman Games label on there as well. And it goes like this. Well, it's preface. Sorry, it's got an introduction by Dustin Klingman. The preface is by Dave Arneson. One day, a little over 30 years ago, I discovered that I was bored. Faced with a long weekend without gaming, I turned to the television. I tried to occupy my time sitting on a couch watching cheesy 50s monster movies and reading fantasy hero novels until I could find something better to do. I noted that the hero in the movie I was watching had again failed to pick up the gun and blast the monster. Even if such a puny weapon didn't stop the critter, it would probably slow it down. Why didn't the heroes make better decisions? The fantasy hero in my novel had once again dodged the magic spell and solved his problems with a sword. All this in the face of clear indicators that told him and the reader exactly what he must do to destroy the evil menace through an easier route. Even I could write better junk than this. I began to reflect on the latest bad translation quoted from an obscure historical tome that would call for major rule changes in the Napoleonic Miniatures campaign. The campaign that I was running had become a drag. It was consumed with these long, tedious battles and constant bickering over historical details. These most recently uncovered details would mess up next week's battle. Curses on all such books. Why not just use one source and be done with it? Click. Graph paper, pencil, the old 20-sided dice we never used, some really poorly sculpted plastic monsters. I began to imagine a dungeon. My mind raced. I began to draw. Maybe I can fill it with critters and gold. This dungeon needs a name? It's a dark place in the wilds of wherever. Ah, Blackmoor. By Sunday night, the first six levels of the dungeon were done and the gaming table in the basement had been transformed into a small medieval town with a castle. A dungeon seemed like a good idea since it would keep the players from running all over the place. We still needed some more details. Ah, I drew a map of the town and the country around it. These last details took me most of the rest of the week to complete. I was really excited about this idea. Now everyone could be a hero like in a book, but without a tight and often dumb plot. They could do just about anything they wanted to, for better or for worse. In that short time, Blackmoor was born. I'm just going to skip a few paragraphs now and get to the penultimate paragraph of this preface, which was written by Dave Arneson in Orlando, Florida in 2004. The end of this in particular, I think, is amusing in light of my discussion in yesterday's episode. He says, many more adventure quests were planned out into new areas of the map, such as the Temple of the Frog, City of the Gods, the Quacking Dragons, etc. Complement these adventures with invasions by evil forces and migrating hordes, and you have a good amount of fun on your hands. Some things worked and others didn't go so well. The Frogs were supposed to be a one-shot adventure that everyone loved so much that I did sequel adventures for them. Nefarious enemies like the Egg of Coot weren't popular opponents at first. The Egg was okay while it stayed out of the mainstream, but no one liked adventuring near it. Some new weapons were added. As the same Napoleonic guys that had hassled me before about assorted minutiae, yes, he says minutiae, should be minutiae, Dave, came around with tomes on medieval weapons. So, Dave, what can this device do? He says, I thought I'd escape that stuff.
Gary and Dave shared credit on the white boss, but
As things advanced, their relationship was on the rocks. Maybe less people know his name, but he revolutionized war games with the first fantasy campaign. On a